The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, and it's good to be back with you this week. Typically, we come on here on Mondays, but many of you guys know we sent out a message on some of these social media platforms. But over the weekend, we got hit with this pop-up thunderstorm. And the lightning was pretty rough in it, and it knocked out our entire internet infrastructure, and we had to get it completely repaired. But nevertheless, we're back on here, and we should be back on here tonight. We'll be back on here tomorrow night, and then the rest of the week as well. So the next four nights, we should be broadcasting. So it's good to be with you. If this is your first time joining us, This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to the program tonight. If you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, we welcome you. YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, all these video platforms, we welcome you as well. Guys, do us a favor. It only takes 2 seconds. It helps us push this message out on these platforms. Please hit that like button. Help us share this broadcast. Get the word out there. So that other people can see our content as well. You guys that are listening by Apple and by Spotify, do us a favor. Give us a good review. This is going to help us push it out. When you hit that 5-star review and like our content on there on Apple and Spotify, it's going to help push out and get other people to see our messages and our content as well. So as much as I'd like to come on here and regurgitate some headlines that we talked about last week, because there's some things coming out that we're going to talk about this week, but I wanted to just to share a little bit of a devotional word, if that's okay. It's going to be out of Mark chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 5, write it in the very first opening passage of Mark 5, and I'm getting ready to turn there with you. You guys will see the visual of this. But I want to minister for the next few moments on a word called get out of the tombs. It's time to get out of the tombs. Now, where did I come up with this? Where did I come up with such a title? One of the main things that we get a lot in emails, messages, I've had discussions on the telephone with people, and it's usually in this general ballpark vicinity of a conversation, and it's this: well, Brother Ricky, I live in such and such state, or live in such and such city, or we moved from this state to this state, or from this location to this location, and we, for the life of us, cannot find a spirit-filled, Bible-believing, a doctrinally sound church that preaches the whole gospel. They don't preach on things that we find essential and vital for the body of Christ. Here's the question I'd inevitably get all the time. Should we settle, or another word for settle is to capitulate or compromise? Should we compromise and settle for mediocrity or normal, even though they're not preaching the whole counsel, they're not preaching on sin, they're not preaching on repentance, they never touch on Bible prophecy, they don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, but it's still a church, Brother Ricky, should I settle? Well, friends, listen, I'm not going to give you advice that I'm not going to take, that I'm going to use my own. Because I've been where you've been in both aspects. I've lived in a city where it is extremely difficult to find a church that replicates, or should I say, looks like the book of Acts. Now, I'm not saying it's going to look like the book of Acts every single, you know, to a T, but it hits the main points of the New Testament church when you read the book of Acts, okay? And I've been in that predicament. And number two, I have moved. We've moved a lot. I've been married. It'll be 24 years this November coming up. And my wife and I has moved a lot. We've not moved across many states. We've been in Kentucky. We've been in Indiana. We've been in Tennessee. And now we're in Georgia. And I think we're done. Lord willing, we're done. And this is where we've come to put our stakes, is in the state of Georgia. But when we moved from state to state, we're not going to just settle for any church. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, whether two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. He says, don't forsake the fellowship of together with other believers. Now, I know religion likes to equate that with a brick and mortar church. Well, that right there, Brother Ricky, it says that we're not to forsake a church building, but that we're to assemble with other believers. Now, that's not what that says, friends. Go back and read it again. What it's saying there is that we should not seek to forsake the assembling together with other believers, but it does nowhere in there does it say it has to be in a brick and mortar church. Assembly of believers can be, come on, you and an assembly of believers in a cafe. It can be in your home. It can be in a restaurant. It can be out in a field somewhere. It can be in the woods somewhere. I'm not discouraging you from not going to a church or serving a church or being plugged into a church. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, again, we have to give you what the truth of the scripture is. And that's what it's talking about, because we're not called to isolate ourselves from other believers, but we need to be plugged in. For some of you, it's not possible to go to a brick and mortar church, a home church, a gathering with other believers. So your gathering, your ecclesia, your fellowship with other believers is right here online. It's right. There's a lot of them right here in the YouTube chat. Many of you guys, you've become acquainted with one another. You've grown friendships and relationships, and you've exchanged phone numbers. Listen, we've got a dear partner of ours who at one time she lived in Texas, but she don't live there anymore. But some of her best, she's told me this before, some of her best friends now has come as a direct result of her being a part of our ministry of End Time Headlines. And through our ministry, she's met other like-minded, spirit-filled, believing believers, and she has grown relationships with them to the point where she's even gone out to meet them. They've gone on vacation. They've come together and had fellowship in other states. She even went completely out of state to meet some of these. So this is not an uncommon thing for this to happen. So this is the time that we're living in. So here's the point I'm making. I am not going to compromise. To me, it's backsliding. For me to know the power of the Holy Ghost, the signs, wonders, the miracles, the fullness of the gospel, the teachings of Christ, the elementary principles of Christ, and then retract from that and go back on it and go and find some church that doesn't operate in this. To me, that's backsliding, and it leads nowhere good. So let's go here. Mark 5. I know y'all been waiting for me. Y'all know I got to build a foundation here. Okay, these are talking points. It's what we're doing. Mark 5. Let's go there now. I'll pull it up here on the screen. All right, we're in Mark chapter 5, New King James. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to preach a little bit here, okay? And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This man had his dwelling among the tombs. Somebody say, he made his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the chains broke, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, and when he saw Jesus from afar off, come on, Jesus showed up, and the Bible says he ran and worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and saying, what have I had to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And the spirits answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Come on, these were familiar spirits acquainted with that region and that territory. And they didn't want to be expelled out of the territory, and they didn't want to go to the pit either. Verse 11, now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all of the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. And there was a roughly about 2,000 of these swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they took it into, and they towed in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Let me back up here. So those in the city and the country, all those who saw what happened, they ran back into the city, they went into the country, all through the Gadarenes, and they testified of what happened. And the Bible says they went out to see what it was that happened. And then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. In verse 17, then they begged to plead with him to depart from their region. Verse 18, I'm almost done. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis, all, come on, that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray that it goes forth and does not return void, but it goes forth and prospers and equips and to the recipients on the other end of this microphone, the other end of that screen in which received this message today. I pray that it quickens them. I pray that it brings self-examination, Lord, and it brings an answer to the thing in which they've been praying and seeking for. I bind every demonic power and spirit that would try to hinder, that would try to distract, and try to turn our attention away from what God would have us to hear and witness today through the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, I pray this today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. First of all, we know according to scripture that this took place in a place called the Gadarenes. This is geographically speaking, the Gadarenes was the inhabitants of Gadara, a city located on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. Gadara was one of the cities of Decapolis. It is a group of 10 cities that were centers of Greek and Roman culture. In a predominantly Semitic region, this was an area part of what would today would be modern day Jordan. This particular region was known for its Hellenistic culture. And this culture often, you'll see it through the scriptures, it clashed with Jewish customs and belief. Now, in case we're just giving a little bit of an educational aspect of this, and then we'll get into the meat of the preaching of the word. The term Hellenist, this refers to individuals who adopted Greek language, culture, and customs during the Hellenistic period. Again, this all followed the conquest of Alexander the Great. During this period, they saw a spread of Greek culture across the Mediterranean and Near East, influencing, listen to this, many regions, including Judea. Hellenists were Greek-speaking Jews who had assimilated to various degrees into Greek culture while maintaining their Jewish religious identity. These individuals emphasized Greek philosophy, literature, and rhetoric. They adopted Greek customs, the dress, and social practices. So here again, once again, we see a mixture. We see where the culture of that day is infiltrating into a lot of the Jewish people of that day. Again, in modern vernacular, we have a lot of church folks today that are allowing the influence of the culture to get a hold of them. Thus, they're capitulating, they're compromising, they are sacrificing their doctrinal soundness and their integrity and their standard to be relevant to the culture around them. Now let's look at this. It is evident when we read this passage in Mark chapter 5 that demons led this man to a place of solitude, isolation, and separation from society. Oh, listen to me, church. Demons will always lead us from the light into darkness. We went to the movies over this past weekend to see a movie with our sons, and there was a, you know, those little posters up when you go to the movies, they have these coming attraction, and there's a poster, and one of them said, come out of the light and go into the darkness. And I said, no, thank you. I said, that right there tells me this movie is demonic, because the Bible says, come on, come out of darkness and get into his marvelous light. But don't miss it. Demons will inevitably lead us out of light and into the darkness. In fact, one of the titles of Satan is the ruler of darkness. Demons ultimately have an assignment to hinder us and prevent us from being exposed to the light of God's presence, his power, and his glory, and will use any and every methodology and device. Your Bible uses the term schemes of and the wiles of the evil one or the devil. He will use these to accomplish this. What's he trying to accomplish? Again, to hinder or prevent us from being exposed to the full light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here again, you see this man who he has been isolated from society. He's been separated from anyone who has the ability to set him free. And now he's in a dead, dry, barren place. The Bible says he dwelt in the tombs. Oh, listen to me. Many churches today are so filled with demons. Yes, I said it. Many churches today are so filled with demons that are dwelling in the sanctuaries. They're so comfortable because there's no threat of exposure, because many churches today are operating in darkness. They're operating in agreement with demons, and therefore there is no threat to the kingdom of darkness present. There is no separation. There's no distinction between the world and the house of God, from light and from darkness. Listen, these churches can be identified because they allow all kinds of modern paganism, and it's not really modern. It's been around. It's the same spirit, but it's just repackaged. They allow this stuff right into the church. They celebrate, promote, and house Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Halloween, Super Bowl parties on the big screen. Have you ever seen the commercials during Super Bowl? Do you really want that being displayed on a big screen in your sanctuary? I'm just saying, we have all kinds of foolishness going on in the church today, punting Bibles off platforms. We've got weightlifting preachers on the stage. We've got preachers getting their haircuts on the stage. We've got half-naked men swinging and climbing on a pole during a men's conference. By the way, that is absolutely from the spirit of Ashtaroth. Go study that out. But yet this is all going on. We have pastors and leaders that just openly allow and play mainstream music in their sanctuaries. And it's from artists that promote New Age, witchcraft, promiscuity, and the list goes on. We even have pastors allowing beer drinking from leaders on the platform, on the stage, behind the pulpits. They have staff members and leaders. They're actively engaged in open homosexual lifestyles. They have no shame. They don't blush. There's no remorse. There's no repentance. We have openly gay, trans, and bisexual pastors behind pulpits, which there's no such thing, by the way. They're not workers of God. They're workers of Satan. All of this is a breeding ground, listen to me, for unclean spirits. Now, why am I telling you that? Because the Bible says that the man at the Gadarenes was bound by a legion, 2,000. What kind of spirits was it, church? I'm trying to see if you're paying attention to me. What did it say? Unclean spirits. unclean spirits. This dude did something to open himself up to unclean spirits. But let's talk about the flock. So, because, you know, whatever is behind the pulpit will ultimately produce what's in the pews. So meanwhile, in the flock, in the sanctuary of the churches, in the pews, filling them up on Sundays and Wednesdays or whatever, many of the flock are making their dwelling in these dead churches. They are punching the clock on dead churches. They hang out with spiritually dead people because they themselves have become so accustomed to the darkness that light is repulsive to them. Are you hearing me? They prefer to hang out with worldly people rather than godly people. They'd rather drink from Budweiser than from the fountain of living water. Come on. They'd rather see a NASCAR car go around a lap 500 times than some, come on, spirit-filled grandma that gets, come on, the joy of the Lord and likes to run around the church. I'd rather see grandma run around the church and the Holy Ghost and have victory than I would sitting around drinking a Budweiser and watching a NASCAR race for 4 hours watching a car go around and around and around. Oh, I'm gonna hit you right between the eyes. I'm gonna come knocking on your door in just a minute. Listen, if we would rather scroll TikTok than flip through the pages of the Bible, we're in darkness and not light. If we'd rather binge watch Netflix instead of watching sermons. If we would rather roll up a joint and get high rather than spend time in the presence of God until heaviness breaks off and the beauty for ashes comes for a spirit of heaviness, then we have become accustomed to the darkness. And before we point fingers at what's preaching behind the pulpits and what's leading this, again, I've said this before and I'll say it again, this is simply a supply and demand issue, because the people that are coming and scratching the ears of the people that want their ears scratched and turning their ears away from the truth and turning to fables, it's because they desire it. They don't want to hear the truth. They are turning from sound doctrine and they are turning to fables. So if they in the tombs are full of darkness and they're worldly and they're lukewarm, then, and if they desire ear tickling preaching, then that's what they're going to get. John said it like this. He said that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But I come by to tell you today, and Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he said, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Come on and find out what pleases the Lord and have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Come on, do I got anybody here today that's understanding what this preacher's talking about today? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, unless the glorious God of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. And Acts 26:17-18, God says, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Listen, God has called us. He's called me. He's called you to go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. How are we going to do that? We do that by opening their eyes and turning them from darkness to light. But my friend, if we're full of darkness, If we're full of darkness, they're not going to see that light. It's not going to shine on them. It's not going to convict them. It's not going to convince them. And they're not going to be attracted to anything that you have to offer them. There again, you pose no impact. You are not impactful for the kingdom of God. You're just an undercover, quote unquote, Christian. You don't look like a Christian. You don't act like a Christian. You don't talk like a Christian. They don't even know that you are a Christian. And one day it accidentally slips out of your mouth. My friend, this stuff should not be. John 1:5-6 said that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we continue to walk in darkness, we are liars and we are not living out the truth. Oh, I got to pull this up. 1 Peter 2:9. Look what Peter says. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who did what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do I got anybody today that God has pulled you out of the tombs? He's pulled you out of the grave. He's pulled you out of the miry clay, and he set your feet and established your feet on the rock and established your goings. Come on, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to. Can I just testify for Jesus for just a few moments here? Listen, I don't know about you, but I know what he's delivered me out of. I know what he brought me out of. I know the miry clay that I used to be in. I know that I was once in darkness, but now I can see. I know that I was groping in the darkness. I was wandering around, didn't know head from tails, didn't know where I was going. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads unto death. There's many of you, you think you got everything figured out. Some of you says, well, I don't need God. Well, I don't need Satan. I don't need the light. I don't need darkness. My friend, it's easy to say that, and it's easy to make some proclamation like that as long as your health is good, as long as you got a pocket full of money, as long as your marriage is good and your children are healthy, come on, and you've got a good thing going with your career. But let some trials come, let some tests come, let some setbacks come, let some uncertainties come, let a diagnosis come, let something come off with your marriage, let your children come to get a phone call about your children, and everything can stop on a dime. Everything can change in 24 hours. Then, my friend, what are you going to do? What's in the tombs that's going to help you? What's in the tombs that's going to give you life? What's in the tombs that's going to resurrect some things? What's in the tombs that is going, come on, to get you out of some stuff, deliver you out of some stuff, set you free from stuff? My friend, there ain't nothing in the tombs that you want. It's time to get up and get out of the tombs. Oh, I come by to tell somebody today, where there is the presence of light, there is the presence of life. Let me say it again. Where there is the presence of light, there is the presence of life. The absence of light is darkness, and where there is darkness, there will be death. You can gauge, listen to me, we can gauge where a person is in our walk with God based on what kind of church or gathering they desire to be in. Those walking in darkness want a church that they can easily blend in and be lost in the crowd. Oh, come on. They don't want accountability. They avoid churches like the plague that operate in the power of the Holy Ghost and preaches on sin and repentance. Why? Because it produces conviction and charges them to come out of darkness and no longer be comfortable in it. These are those whose Paul spoke of in his gospel, where he says they'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. Oh yeah, you'll see them in a restaurant and they'll have on their Sunday best. Come on, the wife will have on a beautiful dress. The kids will be all dressed up and their hair combed up and nice shoes And the husband's in his three-piece suit. They've got their shiny leather King James Bible. It seems like they've got it all squared away. They look like they are just full of God. They have the form of godliness. But what you'll discover when you peel all that back, and once they leave the restaurant and they get back home, the husband is, come on, he's living in darkness. She's living in darkness. They're on the verge of divorce. He's an alcoholic behind closed doors. Their kids are rebellious. Their kids are revolting against them. Their kids don't want anything to do with God. They barely go. They only attend church on Sunday. They only attend church on Easter Sunday. They only attend church on Christmas, but they're not in the prayer meetings. They're not seeking the Lord, and they're not on fire for God like God desires them to be. What am I talking about? They are comfortable in the tombs, in the darkness. They are actively looking and pursuing for a church that does not charge them to come out of darkness, but they're looking for a church that is accustomed to, come on, to give them what they desire that they can live in their darkness. I got to move on here. So notice the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that it speaks of this man that's bound by demonic spirits, that they try to bind him with chains and fetters, and they could not bind him. They could not contain him. He would break the chains. He would break the fetters. Listen, this is what dead churches that are full of religion will do to you. They will attempt to bring deliverance through means of counseling, programs, and systems of religion rather than relying on the power of the Holy Ghost. And what this does, it leaves people in chains and fetters and never truly sets them free from their bondages, addictions, and demon oppression, and even sometimes demon possession. Oh, sure, it'll put a Band-Aid on something for a while. Oh, sure, it'll give them a little bit of a comfort here and a little bit of a peace here, but it's quick to wear off. Why? Because they're not being truly set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, does anybody believe me? Does anybody believe the word of God today that says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed? Come on, is this all right if I preach this today? The Bible says the man cried out night and day. Listen to me, many people that are watching, they're listening. You know them. I know them. They're in bondage. They're crying out day and night for deliverance. They're looking for real anointing. They're looking for a real move of the Spirit that will set them free. It's not that they don't like God. It's not that they don't believe in God. It's not that they detest church. It's not that they don't want to read the Bible. It's none of this. The problem is they just want real and authentic. People are fed up with dead, dry, programmed religion. They're tired of the hype, showmanship, celebrity pastors and preachers, influencers, motivational speakers, and life coaches behind pulpits. People are longing in this hour for authentic, anointed, and Spirit-filled ministries. They want churches and preachers of the gospel that understand and preach the fullness of the gospel. And when you truly experience this, my friend, this will bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. It will bring peace. It will bring fulfillment, because then we are experiencing the very foundation and blueprint of the New Testament church. Notice here in Mark 5 that the man immediately fell at the feet of Jesus. This was remarkable. He immediately fell at the foot of Jesus. You know what? When we get into a real atmosphere where the Spirit of God has been given liberty and freedom to move, you know what's going to happen? You will immediately enter a posture of praise and worship. There's been many times in my walk with God that I don't fake it till I make it. You can ask my wife that. If I go to a church and I don't feel anything, just because there could be 300 people in the building and 299 of them's got their arms up and throwing them up in the air and shouting, if I don't feel anything, I'll be the one that ain't going to be doing it. I'm not going to fake it till I make it. But on the other hand, you get me into an atmosphere, whether it's a home church group meeting, a brick and mortar church, a conference, whatever, and the real anointing shows up, the real Spirit of God shows up, Guys, I will cry like a baby. I tell you, there are services I've been in where the presence of God was so heavy and so thick that I was so broken that I was literally on the floor, out of my pew or out of my chair, on the floor, broken, just weeping before the Lord. Why? Because this is what happens when you get in the presence of God. Notice this guy, the religion was trying to bind him. Religion was trying to set him free, but they couldn't. Religion was trying to contain him, but they couldn't. Religion was trying to tame him, but they couldn't. They were trying to put him in his right mind, but they couldn't do that. They could not do what only Jesus could do. But your Bible says that Jesus, all he did was simply show up. And when he simply showed up, the man went from screaming and foaming at the mouth and throwing people off and ripping and tearing and crying out day and night. He immediately went from that posture to a posture of immediately falling at the feet of Jesus and worshiping him. Come on. When are we going to get it, church? When are we going to get it, pastors? When are we going to get it, traveling evangelists? When are we going to get it, church home group leaders? When are we going to get the point that we don't need to chase after every new bell and whistle, every new methodology that's used by the latest and greatest influencer that has 200,000 people following him, or 500,000, or 1,000,000 followers? Well, Brother Ricky, they have 1,000,000 followers. Yeah, but do they have Jesus? Is Jesus showing up? Because listen, if Jesus is showing up, it's going to have evident fruit. It's going to be marked by the encounters that people experience. Guys, that's what I want. When I come on here and do these programs like this, when we do these podcasts, listen, I could care less if you ever remember my name at the end of this podcast, because that's not what I'm about. But you know what I want to be known by is that I want to be like John and say, I must decrease while he must increase. So if I can get you through me as a conduit and me as a vessel on these airwaves, through this microphone, through your platform, through Apple, through Spotify, through YouTube, whatever, however you're listening, if God can use me to get you an encounter with him that wrecks your life, sets you free, and gives you an encounter that you can never turn from again and marks you forever, and that you could never go back. Oh, listen to me. I'm still in my message. That it so wrecks you that you can never go back to some dead, dry tomb again called church. Then I have been successful in what God has entrusted me with this platform, with this ministry. So again, notice the man. When Jesus showed up, that's when everything changed. And I want to tell you, when Jesus shows up in your home, everything's going to change. When he shows up in your marriage, everything's going to change. When he shows up to your kids, everything's going to change. He shows up to your church. He shows up to your business. He shows up to your, come on, he shows up at your door, in your car while you're driving, in your kitchen, in your backyard, wherever you're at, wherever you're crying out unto him. When he shows up, he can do more in a moment's touch than you could ever do in 6 weeks of counseling. I want to say it again. When we get into an atmosphere where the Spirit of God has been given liberty and freedom to move, we will immediately enter a posture of praise and worship. Tears will fill our eyes, and we will never desire to go back to the tombs filled with dead men's bones ever again. Notice the Bible testifies that the man was cutting himself. Many people, guys, I'm telling you, there's people, young people, they're cutters. They do self harm to themselves. They self-afflict themselves. Why? Because they are in deep depression. They're in demonic bondage. They're desperate for deliverance and peace. These people need an authentic and true encounter with God. What are they experiencing today? Are they being exposed to the power of God to set them free? We have a mandate to get them to this atmosphere, to allow this to happen in our homes and in our churches and wherever this is. I'm going to leave you with one final thought that I thought was extraordinary. Here is a man. The Bible never, it doesn't ever tell us how long he was in this state. He was demon possessed, 2,000 plus whatever demons, unclean spirits that religion could never set free, him set free of. That religion could never set him free of. Jesus shows up in a moment, sets him completely free. Your Bible says that the man, when he was in his right mind, he came to Jesus and pleaded, "Let me follow you." You would too. I mean, I know I would. And listen, I still am. Jesus set me free 24 years ago, wrecked me so bad that I ain't got nothing to go back to. Listen, they could come knocking on my door with the best weed in the state of Georgia. And don't email me and tell me where it's at because I ain't interested. I'm just saying they could, and why do I say that? Because the old me used to be into that stuff. You can show up to the door and I would be like, no, I'm good. Why? Because once you have been wrecked in the light, there ain't nothing the enemy can offer you in the darkness that can even match it. Now, I'm not saying you won't struggle, because listen, we live in this old flesh, and this flesh likes to be in the darkness. Let's just be real here. Come on. Your spirit, I'm talking about your spirit, man. When you're born again, your spirit is born again. But you have that old carnal nature. You have that carnal mind. It has to be renewed day by day. You got to put that thing on the altar and kill it. Why? Because I'll walk through a park. I've walked through a park before. And I'll smell the smell of marijuana. And you know what happens? Immediately, it's nostalgic for me. Immediately, the devil wants to bring me on memory lane and try to hold my hand and start skipping through and bringing out the scrapbook and say, remember those days? Remember partying with so-and-so and hanging out with this and this and this? And if I'm not quick to shake that off and bring that into captivity, then even though I'm physically here walking through a park, my mind is somewhere way off 24 years ago, and I'm in another party that I once was at. Why? Because the devil wants to lure you back in the darkness. So I get it. I understand. This guy was made his dwelling so long in the tombs and in the darkness that once Jesus showed up and turned his life upside down and set him in his right mind, could you imagine? He said, Lord, please let me go with you because I never want to go back to that again. But Jesus saw something in that man that he didn't even see in himself. Jesus was confident that he got so wrecked in the presence of God that he would never desire to go back into that darkness again. He would never go back into the tombs again. And what does it say? Jesus said, go. Go and tell the city and the people what great things God has done for you. And you know what? That he's still doing that today, my friend. He's still doing it to you. He's brought some of you out of your tomb. He's brought some of you out of your graves. He's brought many of you out of your darkness and out of the dark places. And out of Satan's grip and his strongholds, he's delivered you from this stuff. He's brought you out of drugs. He's brought you out of alcoholism. He's brought you out of promiscuity. He's brought you out of fornication. He's brought you out of homosexuality. He's brought you out of uncleanness and lewdness and lasciviousness and drunkenness. He's brought you out of all these things. He's brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light so that you can show forth your praises and that you, just like the man at the Gadarenes, you can go to everywhere that God appoints you and sets you and puts you in proximity and sets your boundaries, your neighborhood, your community, your workplace, your family, wherever your influence is, and that you can openly proclaim and testify, look what the Lord has done in me. And guys, no one can appreciate it better than those who once knew you and they knew you that dwelled in the tombs and you that made your tent in and made your place in the tombs and in darkness. And this is exactly what this man in the Gadarenes, all those people knew him. The Bible says they all, the whole town of Gadara knew him. You can mention whatever his name was, his physical name, not the demonic legion, but his real name. If you mention his name, they're like, oh yeah, we know who that is. We definitely know who that is. He was known by everybody. So that when he showed up in his right mind, saved, come on somebody, delivered, set free, and filled with the Holy Ghost, healed from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, and all those demons gone out of him, these people, he didn't have to twist their arm or manipulate them or convince them to come out and see the Jesus who set them free. I'm gonna tell you this today. When a church allows the Holy Spirit and the gifts to operate in their building, in their church, there will be deliverances of this example. When the Spirit of God is allowed to flow in a church or an individual's life, then whatever is dead will be made alive again. I remember Leonard Ravenhill and John Wesley both made profound statements. Leonard Ravenhill once made a statement. He said, when there's a move of God in a church, you don't have to announce it. Everybody already knows it's happening. He said, if there's a fire burning in your community, in a house, a physical, real fire, we're not talking about spiritual here, he's talking about a literal fire. If there's a house burning in your neighborhood, you don't need to announce that. Everybody is going to know that that house is on fire. And he said, it's the same with the church in your community. If it's on fire, if it's on fire for God, if they're casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, people's lives are being transformed, turned upside down for the gospel, you don't have to announce it, you don't have to proclaim it. People, the word's going to get around, honey, and testimonies are going to follow. And you're going to know where that is. John Wesley once said that, he says, I catch myself on fire every day and people come for miles and watch me burn. So here's what I want to do today. I know this is a little different. Some of y'all thought we was going to talk about headlines and all that. And we're going to get to this. We're going to talk about that. Don't worry. But today, that's not what we're talking about. Today, while we're still in this time of prayer and time of fasting, time of repentance, for you, this may be for five people today. But if you're in the valley of decision and the enemy has really been poking you and pronging you and trying to convince you to compromise and say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay if you stay in this dead, dry, barren, dead church. It's okay. I know they don't operate in the fullness of the gospel. They don't preach on repentance or sin or the cross or the blood. I know that they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit. I know they don't doctrinally believe. I know they never preach on the book of Revelation or the end times or the need to prepare for the coming of the Lord. I know they don't preach on all that stuff, but it's okay because you can just punch your religious ticket every Sunday. Listen, I don't know who this is for. Maybe for five people listening. But if the enemy's trying to convince you that, I come by today, this preacher come by today to say, do not settle for the tombs. Get up and get out of the tombs, cry out to the Lord, and watch Jesus show up. Oh, listen, you may have your eyes on a brick and mortar church, but Jesus might show up in a small coffee shop of 12 believers that's been put together by some spirit-filled woman. God may show up. He may show up. Jesus might show up in the form of a men's group that you've been invited in. And it's got eight people in it, but these guys are, come on, they're full of integrity. They have the standard of the Lord. They believe in the fear of the Lord. They're walking and serving the Lord, and they're full of the Holy Ghost. That may be that may be the boat, friend, that's showing up when you're on the roof crying out, come and save me, Lord. Come on, we got to get our eyes off of this religiosity that we have been accustomed to, because Jesus is showing up, and come on, in your gatherings, he's showing up on your shore, he's showing up in your mess, he's showing up in your place. And it's, again, we have to make that decision today. Are we going to settle for the tombs? Are we going to get up and get out of the tombs and move forward and say, you know what? There is more out there. I just got to keep asking, got to keep seeking, and I got to keep knocking. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for whoever this message is for today, whomever may be in that valley of decision, that they may be, that the enemy is trying to convince them to settle for the dead, dry, barren, dead tombs, Lord, and these places of complacency and forms of godliness, but that are denying the power. Lord, if anyone's listening and they fall in this category, I pray that you'd give them the grace, give them the strength, give them the boldness, and the encouragement to get up and get out of the tombs. And I pray that, Father, as they get up and they walk by faith and not by sight, that, Father, that you would reveal to them where they are to be plugged in. Whether it's this church, whether it's this cell group, whether it's this small group, whether it's this house group in this house church, or maybe it's an online community. If it's not ours, maybe it's somebody else. Lord, I am not about pulling other people's other shepherds' sheep out of their flocks and trying to pull them out. I'm not about that. Lord, I just want to help people. You know my heart, and I pray that people would be equipped, they would be helped, they would be edified, they'd be encouraged today. And Lord, I just pray today that if there's anybody listening today and you recognize by the gospel that's went forth today that you have become accustomed to the darkness, and you say, I want fully out of the darkness, and I want to walk in the light as he is in the light. If that's you today, I want you to look, take a step by faith. Start praying right now. Start crying out to the Lord now. Father, forgive me. Lord, I repent. Lord, I turn from. Come on, I can't do all this for you. I'm leading the way, but you've got to take it the rest of the way and take the reins and go with it. And Father, I just pray that you'd honor these prayers today. Honor those that are crying out today. Lord, I thank you for those coming out of the tombs, coming out of the dead places. They're getting a touch of God. They're coming into the marvelous light. Lord, and their testimonies are going to go into the highways and byways, and many, many people are going to come to the kingdom of heaven because of what you have delivered them from. And Father, we give you praise, and we'll give you glory, and we'll give you honor for this. And it's in Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, amen and amen. Again, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're watching the visual right there on the screen, that is our app. It's absolutely free. I want to encourage you today to go get it today. Get it. You just go to your app store, whatever that looks like for you, Apple, Google Play, or if you're watching by Rumble, YouTube, or Facebook, under the description of this video, it says download our free app. All you got to do is click on download our free app. You'll see a link. Click on it, and it's going to bring you there. And then hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. Every headline, every podcast, every prophecy viewpoint, everything is going to be right there for your convenience. And as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, or all of the above, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right there on the screen, you can give electronically through the app or through the main website. That's the easiest way there. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can simply do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, again, it's been a privilege and an honor to be with you tonight on this Tuesday, July 9th. We'll be signing off tonight. We'll be right back here, same place, same time, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday, July 10th for another great program. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.